Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. If you're new to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, Inner Voice Intuitive Hour is a program that is on With Insights Radio, and you can check out With Insights and Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. We're both programs that focus on developing your intuition, helping you recognize your soul self, helping you recognize those tools in yourself and those gifts in yourself that help you live with inspiration, with gratitude. And so if this is the first time you've listened to Inner Voice, I encourage you to share your shiny, pretty picture so that we know that you are following the show. I do want to let you know that I have stepped back and am doing the show once a month now, so you'll be able to listen to it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it the first or the last month. For now, I'm going to do it the last Wednesday of the month, and I may switch it later on to the first Wednesday of the month, depending. But, I just had to step back from it. A lot of stuff is going on here, and had to listen to what Spirit was saying, and Spirit was saying, simplify, simplify, and so I am. I am so excited tonight to have Iggy Garcia on the show. Iggy has a show with Insights Radio, which is a wonderful program. I'm sure you'll really, really enjoy his perspective on all of these issues. And with no further ado, I'm going to get Iggy on. Hi, Iggy. Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you this
Over evening? The airwaves.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. It's been, I don't know, I think it's been kind of a challenging time for a lot of people, and it's definitely been challenging here, too, but you know, that always helps us to open the Spirit in different ways. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that you get to share with the listeners what it is you do and what inspires you. And I guess maybe why you started with Insights Radio would be a good place to start. Why did you start it and how did that come to be?
Well, it's funny that you had mentioned what I do. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of my journey is just being that explorer, that trying to figure out new things and just kind of go day by day, just enjoying the moment and enjoying what comes in front of me. I take responsibility for the things that cross my path, and I run into. And so that's kind of changed my life a little bit. I'll tell you a little story about how it all started for me. Basically, this particular format that we're both sharing, with Insights and Inner Voice Intuitive Hour and Mudto, Sasquatch, and End of Love, mm-hmm. and the people who else are on the show, on the network, I wanted to create something that was just available for people to, have just a tidbit, a tad, an insight to see the work that we do to some degree. I didn't know what was going to come of it. I didn't really have this big grand plan, but I knew that it was a way for me to express what was inside of me. I've always liked radio. I remember from the last time I was on the show, I talked a little bit about it when I was 15 and I wanted to start my own radio station, and I went to the place where they sold ham radios and stuff, and I said it to these two old guys, and they both laughed at me, and they said, good luck, it costs a lot of money. And I'm thinking, uh-huh. Okay, fine. They stole my dream at that moment. I allowed it. You're 15, impressionable. But, I never left my mind. I never stopped thinking about it. And then, the opportunity presented itself one day. I was just, just stumbled across it. I saw a blog radio, and I was like, okay, well, cool, let's give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I think back in 2008, I did just kind of some pilots to see how it would go, and I was hooked. I was hooked on it, and it was also a catapult to the work that I was already doing kind of in the part-time in the back, you know, just doing, you know, here and there, touch and go. And like a lot of people start, you know, they're always dabbling in things at first. You know, I had so many things. I came from a business background. I was always trying to find something to do. I could never really work for anybody. It was a very difficult aspect of myself that I just couldn't sit in a desk, sit in a box. You know, I had to do something that was my own creation to some degree, you know, where I was involved with the universe or nature or whatever. So I opened up a landscaping company for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. It reached its point where chemicals and stuff were, you know, affecting my body. And, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go back and do the things that I like. So I ended up back in the restaurant. It was actually worked with my family for several years while I was in my 30s. You know, working with properties, working with my dad. And eventually the opportunity presented itself to own the restaurant myself. It's been in my family for 37 years and still open. But it, just like anything, it came to a point where my spirituality was, you know, really calling me. My spirit was really, you know, yearning to express and to share what was inside of me, what's been, you know, funneled through me through spirit. You know, I'm just a vessel. I'm just the facilitator. You know, I'm just the messenger of the great universe. And when I worked at the restaurant, I couldn't quite do that. I couldn't express myself. It was a battle. Not that the restaurant was bad or anything. It was time for me to change venue. It was time to change, you know, how my life was going. And then I stepped away here in December of this year, or last year, sorry. I decided that I was just going to give it all up. It was just like, it was time. I thought about it and I contemplated it. And then I came to this point in my life. I was just like, you know, there's too many angry people around me. And, you know, if there's a problem and I'm there, then I'm part of the problem. That's mm-hmm. the way I looked at it. So I left. Mm-hmm. I was grateful and thankful to the people who had supported me all those years, which were my folks. But that's my story for the moment. And now I'm on this amazing path and this amazing journey. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I knew that knowing myself that I could, you know, pull it together and figure it out. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, just relearning and retooling and taking classes that of getting back in touch with my old mentors, you know, who have helped me and got me to this point in my life and working mm-hmm. with them again. And so it's been an interesting ride. This 2014, I made sure that it was going to be a year of change for me, and I definitely made that happen. Definitely made some huge changes.
Yeah, yeah. And how long did it take you to figure out that you wanted to make the break from leaving the restaurant to do it? Like, what was that process like for you to figure out that it really was time now? And what enabled you to let go?
It was about a 5-minute process. And I say that.
Wow. Thanks for separating.
In 5 minutes, I was like, no, I'm done. No,
wow.
I say it as a joke because, you know, it's kind of a half truth. You know, it's kind of half truth. You know, you're always those 5 minutes when you're working with people who are at a different vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Either the employees or your family members who are there, you know, they don't quite get you. Their goal is money, and their goal is to, you know, make a living, and discounting the different parts of themselves and just mm-hmm. being out of touch. And, you know, I found myself becoming kind of disconnected from the things that mm-hmm. I was doing. And, you know, that was not an option for me. It was not an option to go, hey, you know what, I need the drum. You know, I need to do my shamanic work. I need to do my medicine man healing. I need to do the body work I do. I need to do all these things. I need to do these readings. There was a calling. The process was probably the first day when I stepped into the business. It was probably the first day I started thinking about the change. I'll tell you why, because
at that point,
I probably, you know, if I have to look back at Iggy back then 5 years ago, I'd have to say he probably wasn't as necessarily as confident and wasn't sure. Maybe I was in that old paradigm that, you know, money's going to, you know, make me happier. So what happened was, you know, this is my experience of myself in this moment, you know, in those moments, is that I was on a learning process. I was on this journey. And within that journey, I started to figure things out. I started to figure out, well, you know what, those things may have been important to Iggy that day, in that moment, in that time. But Iggy of today doesn't necessarily need that. And, you know, that was an important aspect of my life, which was had value. And I always honor those parts of me because I take responsibility for those parts. No matter how it turned out, there's no wrong or right way. It just is. And where I'm at today is just this layers and layers of stuff that I had to work through and fish through and unpeel the onion and open up the artichoke. And then when you get to the middle of the artichoke, you find out, well, you know what? There's nothing there because there was never nothing there. It was just your thoughts. It was you the whole time,
yeah.
You know, processing, you know. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. So when I first started, you know, took off the restaurant business, you know, I was like, this is not what you want to do, but you're going to do this temporarily. It was a temporary fix. You know, it was one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go, you know what? The work, when I do the work I do, I like to say what I say. You know, I like to back up what I say, too. When I tell somebody or coach somebody, which I do with the intuitive coaching that I do, you know, people are listening to you. People are watching you. People are paying attention, you know, even if you're not. You know, so people are going, well, you're not doing what you're saying, you know, or vice versa. I'm pretty fortunate that no one's ever really called me out on that, and I don't know if I've ever had to be. But I called myself out on that, you know. That's a big awareness for me to be able, you know, 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that, or 10, you know, say, hey, you know what? You're not walking your path. You're telling other people to walk this path, but you're doing it half in and half out. And so, you know, Jenny, I just made this decision. This decision's been, so far it's been good. It's been good, you know. I'm just trying to get back in the rhythm and the flow with it.
I think it's so important that we listen to, you know, that authentic part of ourselves. And I think that, you know, there are so many stressors and so many things that push and pull at us. And then, I mean, I think, too, that there's this kind of tricky energy. I always call it the trickster archetype, where, you know, we can kind of delude ourselves into thinking we're doing it, and then we're not really doing it because we're not really feeling it. We're not allowing ourselves to feel that shift. And we're doing things for other people, or we're doing things for other reasons. And because it's unacceptable to us, we kind of keep these things in two different places. And I think a lot of people live a lot of their lives that way. I mean, and I think it's really, you know, this cognitive dissonance is really encouraged by the culture. And I just think it's so cool that you were able to stop, go inward, and really shift to something that was that more honored who you where you really wanted to be. Because I think it's hard to switch gears halfway through something, you know, back up and say, this isn't working for me. And there certainly aren't very many models that endorse it in our culture. So I just think it's really great that you listened and that you did that.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's funny, you probably heard this saying, and I know the listeners probably heard this, where are you going to be in the next 5 years, you know? And that was a big voice in my head, you know. So what's the next 5 years going to be like? You know, my kids are all out of the house. You know, Susie and I are, you know, we're in that open, you know, open nesters or whatever you call them. Our kids are in college, and our last one's a senior. He'll be doing his last musical this year. And rediscovering who she and I are in a partnership has been kind of, you know, one of those cool things, you know. That way we can flow together. You know, we've both gone through all the different, you know, different types of the archetypes, you know, the innocent, the orphan, the warrior, the caregiver, the seeker, the lover, destroyer, the creator, all, you know, the ruler, the magician, the sage, the fool. We all kind of play in these little parts. And, you know, I believe that I was stuck in the seeker for a while, and I was stuck in the destroyer part, you know, destroying those things, of aspects of myself, and, you know, trying to find my identity. And, you know, right now, I'm probably kind of in the magician, in the transformation, you know, trying to figure out my goals and trying to, you know, merge things and bring people together, because I feel that's where that's a pretty big gift of mine that I believe that has been given to me by spirit, is to, you know, be that in between royalty and the common person, you know, to be the fool, you know, be the court jester and dance around a little bit from time to time. But it's been interesting, because Susie and I have actually have had to rediscover who we are in our relationship, because not only has my life changed her life has changed too, because now we've totally like scrapped away everything that we've pretty much done. We don't have a house right now. We don't live
right.
in a house. We live with my in-laws in their basement. We're like teenagers, you know.
Wow.
I've stepped away from my family and totally, you know, I've been really consumed and really immersed with, you know, Susie and her family, and you know, through just it's been a big turn, you know, just like, you know, complete opposite of what I was doing last year. So it's been it's interesting. It's been interesting.
I bet you feel lighter though. I'll bet you feel lighter though. You know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, you feel lighter, but you know, those human parts and those ego parts come inside, and then you know they want to protect you.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow. Maybe I should go back to the restaurant. Maybe I should beg for forgiveness.
Maybe
go back. You know.
That rock. You know?
And maybe I screwed up. Maybe I really screwed this up. And you know.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, stop. But, you know, that's been kind of going away lately, you know. But in the beginning, I tell you, it was one of those, it was just tough. It was tough. And in the end, it was my decision, my choice. And I'm really happy that I have someone in my life who at least stands by me and says, hey, you know what? I know you're not happy. We're both scared. But you know what? Go for it. Do it.
Let's do this. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think it's so hard to change. It can be so hard to change. And then, you know, all those voices that you're talking about that creep in and you start to question the changes that you're making. And I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, you know, it's so important to be able to bring to the table, you know, some sort of clarity or to be able to hold some sort of clarity through the changes. You know, I mean, Jung talks about this idea of the tension of the opposites and how, you know, the more that we are aware of what we need, the less we get stuck in one place that it doesn't serve us. And I really think
mm-hmm.
that's true, that, you know, that you have to be able to listen to your intuition enough to let things shine through and to be able to figure out what really is best on your journey, what really fits now and now and now, instead of looking at it
mm-hmm.
like, this is the commitment I made long-term and, you know, I'm in it for to win it for the long haul, you know, just to pick it up and say, well, does it still really serve me? Does it still really speak? Is it okay for me to change, you know, and do something totally different, you know, and then support yourself in that process?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Now trying to get back into the rhythms with things, it's funny, I was telling my wife, I was doing some readings at Mystic Nirvana, those of you who, I don't know if you've ever been there, but they're in Powell now. You know, Brenda's one mm-hmm. of the persons that I've worked with in the past, and
mm-hmm.
she allowed me to have some space in her place to do readings, and I've been doing readings with her. And I tell you, I told Susan, I'm tired, man. I need to like get back into, you know, figure out, you know, why I'm getting tired. She goes, well, you're doing readings, and you're having people come in, and you know, you haven't done that in a while. You know, you've done it on the radio and stuff in your shamanic work, but you know, it's relearning, it's retooling and recreating myself and working on myself and clearing myself and moving that energy that, you know, doesn't get stuck with me. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, energetically.
That's kind of why I stopped doing the radio show once a week, because it was becoming really, really heavy, and I'm not the techiest person in the world, and that's just not my skill set. And I don't learn mm-hmm. it easily, and I don't retain it well. And it was causing me a lot of frustration, and the joy part of it was kind of going out the window, because it felt like all this preparation and all this stuff that you had to do, and then Blog Talk kept shifting, you know, what they were doing, and then they were having all those issues. And I was just like, this is insane. I was like, grr, I just don't want to be so mad if I even get on. And I was like, this is not working. I have got to just set this aside and say, you know, maybe I'll return to doing it all the time, but for now, I have to set it down. And I actually am writing this column for this magazine called Bell Free, which, if you guys who are listening, look it up. It's a wonderful metaphysical publication, just wonderful, put together by Bell Salisbury, and all different writers write for it. And the last article I wrote was about don't pick up that rock. You know, I mean, we're taught that we have to pick up everything heavy and carry everything heavy, and And we don't, you know, there are some days when things, there's just too much out there. There's just too much to do, too much to fix, too much to solve. And it's okay to go in another direction and stay in the place of clarity and stay in a lighter place, in a place of levity and laughter and not have to figure everything out. So, I don't know, I just wrote this article all about that whole idea of, you know, figuring out what serves you and not picking up something, you know, a burden that's very, very heavy. You know, just looking at it and going, okay, that'll be there when I feel more stronger and more attuned tomorrow. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to pick that up right now, you know.
Sure, I totally get what you're saying because when I was doing the Itsipi work, which is Sweat Lodge ceremony, for almost 8 years straight, I was doing that for 8 years straight. I actually took the whole year off last year. Completely off, except for one day out of the year, which was January 1st. I decided that I was just going to reflect, look back, and see where I was at with things. And, you know, it was a good thing that I did that because at least I got to see, you know, my life in a different light, not versus, you know, having to be everything or, you know, because you start becoming things for other people, and not necessarily you for
Absolutely.
Them, but they for you.
Yeah.
They start
yeah.
to lean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had to kind of disconnect from that and pull away from that. And, you know, it was hard because you start to, you try to explain to people that, you know, you're not a guru and you try to tell people I'm more goo than roo, you know, because,
right.
you know, but, you know, it takes a while for people to understand because they're in their process. They're in their growing process. They're actually trying to see and they're trying to rediscover and discover parts of themselves that they've lost that are frozen
yeah.
in time. And then you and I are, I don't want to say we're ahead of the game, but we're in a different, you know, angle and a different, you know, perception of things. And we see things because we've been trained and we've been taught by, you know, great sages and teachers and people in books and stuff. So a lot of the people who come into our realm, into our space, you know, have no clue about what we do, even though you try to explain to them. And then it becomes this infatuation, you know, of what we do.
People project
that
to a lot, what they need.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
They project that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's an energy. You want to pick
huge.
Up that projection and run with it, or do you want to say, wait, back up here. You know,
right.
Get everything figured out, you know, or whatever they're projecting onto you. Absolutely. And I think
and that happens to the best and the worst of us.
Oh, absolutely. And it happens to all of us. I mean, if it doesn't happen in, you know, our career, it happens in our intimate relationships. It happens, I mean, it's part of being human, is to project.
Right.
And you can project positive things or negative things. I mean, so it's not all bad. It's just about having an awareness to know what it is you're doing. To go, oh, whoa, I had some really high expectations there, or, you know, or, boy, because this happened in the past, I really thought this would happen again, and this is a totally different scenario. It's totally different people, you know. So, but that's all about awareness. And you're right, it's about stepping back and taking stock and saying, what's serving me and where am I in this, you know.
Right, and, you know, and we're both, in this great mystical, spiritual business that we call whatever you want to call it, metaphysical, holistic. But we're here to empower people, you know. We're here to help
yeah.
them coach themselves, you know, to help them
yeah,
rediscover
absolutely.
Who they are. And
yeah,
that's a big change. That's a big paradigm shift for a lot of people, you know, to look at life that way. Oh, wow, you're not going to tell me what to do. No, I'm
not what everyone wants either. I mean, some people really are looking for a guru who's going to say, if you just do A, B, and C, and D, all your problems will be fixed. I mean, they want to put you to pull a rabbit out of a hat, or they're in the place where they need a rabbit out of a hat, you know. And that's
right.
okay. And that's where they're at on their journey. But, you know, I mean, it behooves us to know where we're at energetically as well, which is, you know, if you're saying to them, you have it in you, you can find it in you, you know, maybe you can figure out that they need to balance this chakra or whatever kind of thing, you know, you're a witness and to a certain extent you have some objectivity and gifts, but, you know, you can't put them in another place. You know, you just have to say, well, this is where I'm at and this is where you're at, you know. None of them is your client, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That there are doers out there. So people want that. They really do, you know. And
Yeah.
And I used to be really, really hard on that. Like, I used to be like, nobody should want that, and everybody should want to find themselves. And now, I mean, Tammy, my partner, really helped me with this. She said, no. That's where they're at on their journey. That's what they need to believe first in order to get to this other place. And it's
That's
fine,
great.
You know, it's fine. And I used to get all mad and try to expose them, like, you know, whatever. You know, this was years ago. But and then go, oh, wow, okay, well, there's space for them, too. You know, I just don't want to be there.
It's like leading the horse to water, but he won't drink it, you know, or he
might. And then you can't get frustrated with them either and, like, be like, well, you need to find it within because they're not there. That's not where they're at.
it's funny that you say that because I remember when I was first kind of engaging in the work that I was doing when I was around, I was around 22 or 23, I was so result-oriented. You know, that's just kind of how I was raised to be result-oriented. So I thought everything had to be result-oriented.
Yep.
And so here I am. You're not healing. What's wrong with you? Why can't you fix yourself? Come on, I already told you what to do. You know, you know, it's just, as you start doing this work more and more, you start to realize that, you know, the stories they're all pretty much the same to some degree.
Yeah.
It's how you interpret the story and how you, if you want to stay in the story, you start to learn. You start to figure it out that the story is actually really, really about you. And so when I'm listening to these stories that people tell me, I'm going, wow, that sounds like somebody I know. You know, to some pieces and parts of it. So it gives you a better feel and a better, empathy and compassion for somebody else who's exposing themselves and just becoming very vulnerable in front of sometimes to somebody they've never met before. You know, our first engagement, sometimes it's just this first time I met somebody, you know, for them to get and to be able to express themselves. You know, that's a great teacher in my eyes.
I mean, actually, if they're even at the place where they will do that, that's amazing. You know, sometimes you have someone who comes to the session and they don't want to say anything. You know, I mean, and that's okay, too, because they're in their own process of becoming comfortable with you.
Right. But I love all the little things I've learned along the way, because if one process doesn't work, you know, to help someone, you know, get to that rhythm that I always call a rhythm of some kind, like drumming, because I do a lot of drumming. I always have different, you know, like, toolboxes I can pull things out, you know, different things to help. So that's been part of my journey, just learning and observing and, you know, and honing my skill and my craft to listen to the universe and to listen to my higher self, because higher self is always talking to me.
Yeah,
I may not be talking to higher self, but, you know, higher self takes care of my breathing and my blood flowing through my body and all that good stuff, so I don't have to worry about it, which I'm happy about, because I'd probably go crazy if I had to think about all that stuff. But yeah, it's been a good journey, Jenny. I've been really pretty pleased, and I know there's, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm going, wow, there's more to learn, and I'm going, my head's like hurting already.
I know. I think it's really cool though when you can kind of come full circle and go, oh, that's what that was for, and you know, you have those moments of clarity where you feel like you're really in the muck and really in the mess, and you're going, oh, I don't know what's going on here, or what I'm supposed to learn, or what I'm supposed to gather, but then you'll have this, like, amazing opportunity that helps you turn this corner, and you can kind of look back at your own journey and go, whoa, okay, now I can, like, put this to rest, or I can, you know, bring this up again or whatever. A book that really, really helped me with this whole idea of, you know, that people won't learn where they're not is the book Power Versus Force by David Hawkins. And there part of it is about muscle testing and, you know, the way that different energies calibrate. And that part was a little bit too literal for me, for my taste. But there's a part in the book in the middle that talks about where people are at energetically, and that if you bump up against someone who's energetically in a different place, you can stand there totally vulnerable, totally exposed with your story, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it because they don't have the capacity to take it in. And it's a really cool chart that shows you. And I was actually reading this book. It was about, 6 years ago or something. I had a nannying job. And this particular job there was a lot of wanting to blame me for things that were going on that I wasn't doing at all. And I knew I wasn't doing them, and I stood up for myself and said, no, I would not do that. That's not what I did. This is what I did. You know, I did all the A, B, C, and D that you need to do, but when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, people are going to project on you because they need to tell that story. And it was so funny because in this book was an example that was exactly what had happened that day. And, you know, I was, like, scratching my head, and I was like, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I wasn't clearing my message, you know, all that, you know, monkey see, monkey do stuff. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, no, because, you know, you get that synchronicity and that energetic hit that, no, this is really exactly what happened. And wow, you know, and then you're in a different place, and you go, they don't have the capacity to take in that truth or that piece of information. They need to tell the rest of this story. They're still telling a story that they may be telling for years. Who knows? You know? So it was that book is really, really cool. And that chart that's in it is, it was life-saving, actually, at the time. It was pretty
awesome.
Pretty profound. So, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, most of us can't process anyhow, as far as we can process this because of the memories we have. You know, our memories take us to a certain point, and then after that, we don't have anything else to relate to. And then everything that we're judging everything through our filter systems and through our, you know, the things that we've been taught. And then that's difficult. So that makes, I mean, totally understand why people are frustrated, why people get upset, and why people, if that's all you know, you can't go any further than that. I mean, that's all you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to take, you know, something that happened to you and compare it to something that happened to you and compare it to that, good or bad. So good is this is good and this is bad. And this is what happened to me, so I know I won't let that happen to me again. If I don't let down, you know, you start setting up these walls. You start setting up all these little barriers. And next thing you know, you're inside this box, and, you know, emotional box, and you don't even know what's wrong.
Yep. That's a really good description of it, of how it feels, definitely. I think, too, it's so apt right now, you know, with what's going on in the media and all this sort of thing. I think it helps to know that. I think it helps to know that people are running around in these little boxes and they're not sure how to get out, because we can all relate to being in these little boxes at certain times in our life and what it takes to dismantle that armor. And so then we can have empathy for someone else who's doing it, even if the details of what they're doing or why they're doing it are different than the details that, you know, we jive with, you know. So I think it helps to say, you know, that person is got a limiting belief system. You know, this is why they see it this way, because they have a limiting belief system. Because we can all relate to having limited belief systems at certain points.
Yeah, I hate when my wife says that. You're having a limiting belief. Okay, thanks, wife.
What?
Susie will say that. That's a limiting belief, Iggy. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
I say it to Tammy all the time. I say, that's a limiting belief. You know, and just because you can say it intellectually doesn't mean that you can act on changing it either. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
you know, we all have our places where we have that groove that's hard to get out of because we've, you know, gone over
you
it
know,
so many times.
I like the dysfunctionality too, though. You know, I like knowing that I'm flawed, that I have a lot to learn and a lot, you know. I mean, that would be boring if you didn't. If you were always in the light, you would never know what the shadow would look like, you know.
Oh,
you'd be
totally.
Like, you know, I mean, at night you can see the stars, right? When the night comes, that you can see the stars. So, you know, the shadow has purpose too. And it took me a long time to figure that out, you know, because I wasn't hearing the message when I was learning about, you know, understanding the shadow aspects of your life. For me, shadow was like, ooh, I don't want to be there.
Yep.
You know, shadow is like, you know, I don't want to be in the shadows. That's where creepy things happen and wild things go grow, you know, whatever, you know.
But now
I understand that, you know, the shadow, you know, the dark side of us, you know, strives to be in the light, and there has to be this balance and this harmonious, you know, rhythm, because it's like day and night. When the night comes, you know, the day comes, and they keep coming. It's a cycle. It's supposed to happen.
Yep.
You're supposed to, because you learn from it.
Yeah.
There are certain things happen at night that don't happen during the day. That's kind of like our life.
I always think of it in terms of the moon card and the tarot, you know, because when we go mm-hmm. out into the dark and there's only moonlight, everything looks distorted. But if we stay there a while, then all of a sudden we have like this ability, this illumination, and the light changes the way that we see things, but it zeroes in on it and makes it even more clear. But you have to stay there and be uncomfortable for a little while and go, that looks blurry and that looks distorted and how's my footing, you know. But we really have to like invite that energy of being in the dark and in the moonlight in, instead of pushing it away, you know, into the shadow. And it has definitely has its purpose. It can help us see better.
Yeah, I totally believe what you just said, purpose. Everything has a higher purpose. I believe everything on this planet that's here has a purpose, and there's a reason why it's here. There are no mistakes. Even the worst things that we judge as bad has purpose, you know, and to discount that and to, you know, try to overlook it and not and ignore it is, you know, I think that's and I'm throwing my judgment here. I think that's kind of a weird thing, kind of a not so good to think like that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it certainly makes
that's
me
my projection.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Isn't it all? For sure. Well, Cinda, I know that you are talking about getting the center together. Have you moved further on that, or is that still just in the visualization and creation, you know, inside stage? Or are you, what's going on with that?
Well, the first thing that we're going to be doing is create a community garden here on the Old Town East. We're putting together a plot of land. I think we're going to build a replica of the Serpent Mound, a little one.
Oh my God.
And then we're gonna put a little labyrinth in there. This is the first time anybody's heard this. So we're gonna put a little garden labyrinth in the backside where these big trees are. So the lot stretches about 30 feet by 170 feet. So it's really narrow. So this is the projected idea that we have. We're gonna put community gardens in there where the neighborhood could actually grow their fruits and vegetables and different things they need. We're gonna do permaculture designs in it. So this is my first step into that with some other folks that I'm working with, some other friends. That's our first project to do. And then from there, I think the community bonding that way will start to bring together people to this center will present itself. I'm not really, like, going out there and trying to make it, you know, like, top priority. It will present itself when it's appropriate. Uh-huh. I find that when I just let things flow, you know, very naturally, and, you know, it's... You know, I used to try to make everything just happen, and it happened. But the problem is, you know, I'm a good planter of seeds and stuff, but I'm not a good leader. I don't know how to weed the garden very well. You know, I have great ideas and come up with these amazing stuff. But after that, I'm trying to learn. That's one of my learning lessons. You know, this year is to, you know, if I'm going to plant things, I also have to learn how to weed a little bit. You know, get in there and. You know, But the center is going to happen. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen. This center is, my vision of this center with some other folks that I've been talking to, is to create a space where people can come and, you know, especially healers to get work done. You know, sometimes healers don't get an opportunity to get a massage or get work, you know. But it's open to the public, and, you know, it's going to be something that I can taste it, but I can't see it. You know what I'm saying? It's in my taste of my tongue.
Yeah.
And it's out in the universe. I can sense it, and it's coming together. But it's going to be a place that's going to be really amazing and really cool. And I'm trying to create this co-op of and the synergy of a community where, you know, like-minded individuals work together. I know it's been done before, and there's other centers that are around, but this center is going to be very, very unique in its own way because it's going to bring Native American culture. It's going to bring, you know, Druid cultures, all different types of aspects that you probably wouldn't see in a regular holistic center. I'm just really stoked about it and really excited about it. And I asked the universe to give me patience and not to hurry and make sure it's done properly to some degree. You know, there's no perfection in it, but there's perfection in the imperfection. But I want to get it to the point where, you know, I don't have to be there and run it. I've been in business long enough that, you know, I want to be able to step away if I want to and it still runs.
Right. I think, too, you know, when we're in that place where we're just visualizing it, that is such a potent place to be, you know, because when we're in that visualization place, you know, we can put the whole vision together right there, and it's just exactly the way we want to see it. And that's such a nurturing place to be, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when we put it out into the world, you know, whatever perseverations happen, whatever happens with it, it isn't our baby anymore. But right now, it's your baby. You know, you can nurture it with your vision and nurture it with, you know, all your feelings about how you want it to be. And that's just so, so wonderful and so powerful in and of itself. But sometimes I think even more powerful than putting it out or, you know, pushing to put it out. I have, you know, several friends who have done these, what are they called, when you do this unveiling of your business and all this hoopla, da 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 da. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times it's more powerful just to sit with the visualization and the creative part of it and let it come together as it will, you know. And that's a lesson I'm definitely still learning because I, like you, grew up in a family that was very, very, you have to accomplish things constantly, and if you don't, what are you worth kind of, I mean, real strong
right.
messages around that. And so, like, this whole year, this whole beginning of this year has been about, you know, just stepping back and simplifying and, you know, going to that inner place and allowing things to happen as they're coming into the into fruition, but really tending the vision and you know, tending the body too, you know, just doing self-care and doing things, you know, for myself, you know. And that, I think we're taught that it's either or, but it has to be yes and, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I got this idea years ago, and I just kind of threw it around. But I don't, you probably have seen this movie, Patch Adams. You ever see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, well, there's a scene where they make a clinic, and, you know, they do things in the back, you know, in the backwoods of, you know, Pennsylvania, wherever. And so that's kind of where I got the idea, you know, where people mm-hmm. can come and get worked on, helped on. And so that's kind of where that inspiration came from. I'm pretty positive that, you know, the universe will manifest it, because once we put it out there, it's incarnate. It's born. It's been conceived.
Yeah.
Now, either
mm-hmm.
I will create it or somebody else will create it. And then
right.
when they create it, you know, people hear this all the time. People say this all the time. Well, that's my idea. When they turn the TV on, I thought about that when I was drunk or when I was at a party.
right.
You know, you hear it all the time. But that's the creation of the universe. The universe never fails. It hears every word that we speak. You know, that's why mm-hmm. it's so important, you know, especially for myself, to, you know what I'm speaking, because it's heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's heard
mm-hmm.
constantly in everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that's a big motto of mine, you know, every word you speak is a prayer. You know, you set intentions. We set intentions, even angry, upset, happy, or mad. You know, we're always setting intentions, and our body feels it. Our mind feels it. You know, it starts to permeate through us. And then we wonder why we get sick, and then we wonder why we're feeling great. You know, people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, our self-talk is so powerful. And that's
yeah.
what I've been working on for many, many
yeah.
years, you know, my self-talk, talking to myself and, you know, understanding
in
that I'm going to have days like this, I'm going to have days like that. So, and how I work through it and process through it, you know, will determine, you know, whatever outcome needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that self-talk is so important. I came up with this realization, I don't know, it's about a year and a half ago, you know, that there's a tendency to discount a lot of self-talk and, you know, to think, oh, that's just, you know, nothing, or that doesn't mean anything. But what I've discovered is a lot of times that stuff that, you know, just kind of filters out, that's like, do-do-do-do, and then do this, and then do that, and then, you know, we can discount it, but really that's where our intuition is really, really speaking. And so we need
Absolutely.
To go, oh, no, that's the stuff. That's the stuff that gets you off the high horse and the let's create and let's make this and let's, you know, plow on through, is that, you know, very, very persistent voice that's just there, but quieter, kind of a little in the background, you know. And so we have to, like, amplify it and listen more to that.
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. We're coming into a very, very powerful time, too. We're starting to come to this age where, you know, I mean, you've probably heard people said this all the time, but we're coming to this place where people's intuition is very activated.
Yeah.
People who I would never, ever thought about, you know, even thinking about things like, like my daughter's boyfriend, he left his coat at a bar. They were having a birthday party for a friend, and, you know, he goes, I should leave my coat. And or get my code or put it. Well, it got stolen. He knew he was going to get stolen.
Yeah.
I said, I mean, you know, there was a part of him that just knew, and, you know, he discounted himself and didn't trust his inner voice enough to say, hey, you know what? But I think it's starting to happen globally. People were waiting for 2012 to have this huge explosion. Well, you know, the explosion did happen. You know, the explosion did happen. I work with Earth energies a lot, and I'm really connected to Mother. And when this cold weather is not by chance, you know, this cold spell we have is not by chance. You know, there's a part of me that really believes that this cold spell is brought on by us, you know, really confused about our powers, our intuitional powers that we have. You know, people don't know, they're confused, and they're like locking it up and putting it in the freezer, you know, so no one can see it.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen cold like this in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, it's definitely a disconnection from Mother Earth, for sure. I mean, you know, I mean, whether it's like, you know, literal disconnect or spiritual, it's both. It's a spiritual disconnect and a literal disconnect. And you know, this is the result of not tending the Earth, you know. I mean, and, you know, I mean, we're seeing it all around us. And it's making us have to deal with things differently, you know. And making our needs change too, you know, because we're more isolated, we have to be more connected as a community, et cetera, and so forth. Definitely.
And we are all connected. All my relations, you know, Native Americans, you know, believe that all connection. I mean, a lot of cultures believe that you're all connected, but, you know, what you do to someone else affects somebody, you know, indirectly or directly. You know, the earth, we mess with the earth. There's going to be repercussions for it, you know. I don't want to make this political, but, you know, we have all these fracking things that are going on, and we have all these nuclear testings, and we have, you know, nuclear power plants that are spewing, you know, radio. That affects everybody.
Absolutely.
How we deal with it and how we, you know, change that manifestation and that creation. You know, I really believe that we can change these things at a cellular level through our spirituality and through the things that we believe. You know, by, you know, but through prayer, you know, incantations, you know, just, I really believe strongly that we can actually, you know, that's, why do we pray over our food? Because we know by blessing it, it's going to nourish us and be used properly. So I don't believe there's any difference between what we do when we pray for our food and when we pray for the waters, when we pray for the air, and we pray for the land. We've become a little disconnected, a little removed from that. Just because the cultures, you know, how it's developed and how it's changed, you know, over the millennia. But now here's an opportunity for us to do it again. And I think it's presenting itself.
No, I do too. And I think, you know, trusting our intuition is, like, so central. I've been noticing that, you know, every single time I go onto Facebook or every single time I do, like, you know, just yesterday I was thinking, I've started carrying these nuts in my purse so that my blood sugar doesn't go really low, and I was trying to be really, really healthy and eat nuts without salt. And then I was like, Jenny, you can have a little salt. If you really like salt, if you can have a little salt. You know, you can have salt on your nuts. And I was like, I would like to have some salted nuts. And, you know, I just said it, like, kind of in the back of my mind. I didn't say it out loud or anything. And that night, Tammy brought me home all these salted nuts that her mother didn't want. So, like, I mean, it's happening more than it's not happening at this point. Like, it's crazy. It's like you just put it into the universe and it manifests, it seems like almost immediately. Like, it seems like it's all very much sped up, like the whole process from, you know, visualizing it to coming to fruition is so at this point.
Oh, absolutely. You asked me in the beginning how I knew. I mean, it was the universe was listening. You know, when I was bitching, complaining, even if I was bitching, complaining, the universe was going, I hear you, man. It's coming.
Yep.
It's coming.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's coming. Unless you change your mind, I'll change the order, you know.
So it's like, how powerful is that? Like, you can, you know, I mean, that was just a little example, silly example about nuts or whatever. The last thing was tigers. But, you know, but that kind of stuff, you know, it just happens again and again and again. And if we hold those other energies, or not hold them, but transform them, transmute them, those energies of fear and needing to armor ourselves and needing to be right, and we make a space for this other energy, something big has to shift. It has to,
sure.
because you know, leaders, I don't want to make it political either, but leaders don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, they're going, what do? I only know to go on one side and, you know, dig my heels in. That's all I know, you know, and there's got to be something in between there, you know, some space created for listening and hearing each other. And that does change the energies when we all hold that energy differently and have a different expectation of the situation.
No, I agree. Totally agree. I wouldn't want to be a leader in this time and age.
Oh, my God, me neither. Me neither. Well, it's all just kind of falling apart. And I think that's why everybody's kind of clawing and clutching, because it's kind of dying, you know what I mean? It's like that backlash that you hear about, that idea of backlash. And so everybody digs their heels in that much harder on either side.
Yeah, and you're holding on to old belief systems, too, that just don't quite resonate with people. People are tolerant. The human race is very tolerant, you know, but when you push it, you know, the humans to a certain degree, you know, you start getting boxed in, cornered in like a dog or a cat or an animal. Well, you're going to come out fighting, or you're going to come out scratching or crawling, you know, or, you know, that's going to be left. But that's why I think the work that we do is very important, because there's a lot of people out there. There's a different way to approach that. There's a different way to, you know, manifest, a different way. We don't need to have violence to prove a point or to show the world that we're mightier. There's different ways to, you know, show that. And but it takes a group of people. It doesn't take a lot. It could be a small group. But I think when people start to figure that out, you know what? I don't want my kid to go to war and get shot. Yeah, hurrah, hurrah, United States, you know, you defended our country. But you know what? I have friends, you know, I was in the military, and I have friends who were in the military. You know, it was hard for them when they come back. It's difficult for them because of the disconnection, you know.
Of course.
They bought into a belief that they were defending something or creating something. You know, when they start to see it, you know, what were they really defending, you know? What were they really taking care of? We hold on to all these little pieces of land, and all these landlocked areas, we protect them like they're never going to be there. Things are meant to change. Things are meant to, you know, restructure, re-manifest. Ask the Native Americans, you know. They'll tell you.
Yeah.
They'll be the first ones to tell you.
Yeah,
but they knew
totally.
That. They knew that was going to happen. In their prophecies, they knew that they were no longer going to be, that they were going to lose that, because just not because they were doing anything wrong. It's just the way and the tides of life, how it moves.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
What we know today in 1,000 years, 500 years, 200 years won't be here anymore. It won't be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It will only be recorded in history through someone's perceptions and experiences of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. For sure. Yeah, I think that, you know, I just think it's been interesting, some of the things that have been happening, because I've just been noticing a lot of people who are like, you know, we're kind of in that fight-flight place, or we're taught to be in that fight-flight place, because then we have some sort of wounding experience. And so we either want to fight our way in and show what we know, or we want to back off and run away. But neither one of those places are places of empowerment. Sometimes it's just about staying in that place and saying, okay, I see what's going on. I'm not moving. Mm-hmm. I don't need to affect the outside world. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm just going to take up the space now. And in time, maybe I'll know what to do. Now I don't, but I don't have to run away, and I don't have to up the ante. You know what I mean? I can just stay here, you know. And I think that's a lot of what's happening.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of us, you know, are still stuck in the shame and the fear of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
You know,
we're shamed
by religion. We're shamed by beliefs, you know. And, you know, we become fearful. We become fearful of the things around us. And that's humanity for us. In a cutie nutshell.
I think that staying in that place of just being and noticing and not reacting doesn't look powerful. You know, it doesn't have the trappings of power because it's not dramatic. You know, it isn't like asserting yourself or saying, I'm out of here. But I actually think it's more powerful, you know, because it's like, okay, you know, I'm sovereign here. I see, you know, and here I am, and here this is, and yeah, you know. So
it's because, you know, and you know this, you know, we glorify martyrism too, you know. We glorify,
yeah,
you know, the person
yeah.
who sacrifices, you know, who gives
yep.
away his body or gives away his, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And to stand like a strong Buddha statue and not say anything and just hold space for somebody or for everybody, that's
mm-hmm.
powerful too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're down to about the last 4 minutes, but I want to make sure that people know where to get a hold of you for all your wonderful work and your radio show and et cetera and so forth. So I guess now is the time.
All right. I appreciate, number one, for you to give me this opportunity to share my thoughts and
sure.
my views and perceptions of what I do. And, yeah, you can find me at iggygarcia.com. That's iggygarcia.com. That's the best place. That's my hub for everything. There'll be a calendar. I'm updating the website a little bit, so there'll be some things, and they're kind of looking kind of funky. But I'm actually doing a drumming tomorrow night at Mystic Nirvana at 7 o'clock, doing a meditation and drum class. So
awesome.
Those are the kind of things I'll be doing. So just kind of stay tuned and check out my Facebook at / Iggy Garcia, Hoop Watcher. You'll find me there. And that's the best way to keep up with me. And like I said, I just want everybody to have a good time, enjoy life, and, you know, roll with the punches, like they say. Ho'oponopono. And I really appreciate this time, Jenny.
Absolutely. It's always a real pleasure to get to talk to you. We have great conversations. So.
Well, same.
Take good care.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That was Iggy Garcia with Insights Radio and with Insights Radio. And such a blessing to get to talk to him. I do want to share, I am doing intuitive tarot classes coming up in February. I think they're about half full at this point, and we would love to have you join us if you're interested in looking at Jungian principles in tarot and archetypes in tarot and figuring out how to connect with your intuition on a deeper level. I also teach them on Skype, so if you are not in the CBUS area and you would like to take them, check out my website, innervoiceintuitive.com. And thanks so much for listening to this hour. It's been just such a rich blessing. I'm going to take you out with Dar Williams' The Blessings, which is all about finding synchronicities in your life. Here we go. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic. Oh, no. Whatever you do between now and next month, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, connect to magic, find magic in your world and your universe, because that is what we're here for. I will be seeing you next month with Jen Duchenne, and I look forward to another wonderful hour. Have a great month, everybody. Bye now.